Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're jumping right into something pretty fundamental for any company working across borders, how you actually adjust your internal prices, transfer pricing adjustments.
Yeah, that sounds super technical, doesn't it?
Right.
But I mean, fundamentally, it's about staying on the right side of the law globally.
Right.
We're looking at how companies make sure their internal deals, you know, selling parts to a subsidiary, licensing tech, meet that crucial arm's length standard, basically proving the price is fair like you charge an outsider. Every tax authority wants to see that.
Exactly. And our sources today really lay out the two main ways companies try to fix things when, you know, the actual profit doesn't match the target they set. It really feels like a tug of war.
That's a perfect description. It's operational reality versus tax compliance almost.
Yeah.
So our mission here is to unpack these two strategies. First, there's the, let's call it, the high maintenance approach.
Okay.
Checking things every quarter and tweaking future prices. And then there's the other way. Keeping prices steady all year and just settling up at the end with a single payment. Simple on the surface, but potentially quite risky.
Okay, let's back up slightly. When we say price adjustment, what exactly is being adjusted? The goal is hitting a specific profit level for the local company based on benchmarks, right?
That's it. Precisely. The adjustment is whatever you need to do to nudge that local entity's profit and loss statement back into the compliant range. Yep. Sometimes you can just copy what outsiders charge, but honestly, for most ongoing manufacturing or distribution stuff, it's usually done indirectly.
Indirectly. Okay, so what levers do you actually pull then? If I'm running a big global operation with lots of internal transactions, what am I actually changing?
Well, it depends a bit on what's being traded. For physical goods, raw materials, finished products, you typically adjust the actual invoice price.
Yeah.
You know, charge more or less per item to directly hit the subsidiary's profit margin.
Got it. Change the price tag, basically.
Pretty much. But when it comes to things like royalties for using technology or a brand name, it gets a bit different. Usually that royalty rate stays the same all year. It's just easier contractually.
Right.
So if the subsidiary's profit is off track, you handle the difference with a separate payment, a kind of lump sum transfer at the end.
Our sources mentioned a specific Japanese term, kakoku chiseiken, price adjustment money. Does having a specific term like that mean some places are more, I don't know, formally okay with these year-end fixes?
That's a really sharp observation. I mean, the idea of a true-up or year-end adjustment exists everywhere. But having that specific term, kakoku chiseiken, it does suggest a system that's maybe more comfortable formally recognizing this separate lump sum. It keeps the adjustment distinct.
Which could be good for clarity, I suppose.
It can be, yes, but it also highlights what's happening. You're moving cash to fix the profit number, not necessarily adjusting the underlying price itself. It's generally okay for royalties, but remember, service fees are usually different. You typically adjust the markup rate on the service, not use a big lump sum, unless you absolutely had to.
Understood. Okay, let's dive into strategy one then. Quarterly monitoring and prospective price adjustment. This sounds like the super disciplined, maybe safer route. How does that cycle actually work across the year?
It's definitely involved.
Yeah.
So Q1, you start off setting prices based on your benchmarks and what profit you expect the subsidiary to make. Standard stuff.
Okay.
But then the real work begins. End of Q2, you look back. How did they actually do compared to the plan? Same thing end of Q3.
The moment of truth, quarter by quarter.
Exactly. And if the local company is making too much profit or not enough, you then change the prices for the next quarter's transactions.
Ah, so it's always forward looking. You're adjusting the price for the next batch of stuff you send them.
Precisely. You're always correcting for the future, not the past.
Can you give us a quick example, like with those raw materials?
Sure. Let's say you have a manufacturing subsidiary and they're selling really well. Q1 and Q2 results suggest they're heading for an 8% operating profit, but your target, based on benchmarks, is only 5%. They're making too much.
Okay, so the parent company needs to bring that profit down somehow.
Correct. So for Q3 and Q4, the parent company would probably increase the price it charges the subsidiary for the raw materials it supplies.
Right, making the subsidiary's costs higher.
Exactly. That higher cost of goods sold should squeeze their margin down, hopefully towards that 5% target for the full year. Now, flip side, say Q3 results come in, and they're only tracking a 3% profit. They're undershooting.
Then you need to help them out.
Right. The parent would then likely cut the raw material price for Q4, giving the subsidiary a bit of a boost to hopefully hit that 5% by year end.
It sounds incredibly reactive, though. And maybe operationally messy. I mean, compliance sounds great, but what are the big downsides? Why wouldn't everyone just do this?
You absolutely hit the nail on the head. Our sources are pretty clear. Tax authorities might like this method, but it often clashes badly with how businesses actually need to run.
How so?
Well, think about it. Your prices are changing every 3 months. That creates instability. It makes budgeting a nightmare for the subsidiary.
Yeah, I can see that. If I'm trying to plan purchasing.
Exactly. How do you plan? It can mess up long-term deals you might have. And think about your IT systems, your ERP. They usually like stable prices, constantly updating master data, reconciling across different systems and countries. It's a huge administrative burden.
Okay, so it's operationally painful. That friction, as you called it, must be why some companies avoid it.
It's a major factor, yes. That operational headache is a strong push towards wanting something simpler.
But there must be compelling pros to justify all that quarterly hassle for the companies that do choose it.
Oh, absolutely. The big upside is risk reduction. Pure and simple. By constantly adjusting, you're showing a continuous effort to be compliant. You avoid big, scary deviations from the arm's length standard at year end.
Less chance of a massive tax bill or audit fight later?
Precisely. And crucially, because you're trying to pay the right amount of tax in each country as you go, this method tends to lower your transfer pricing risk exposure on both sides of the transaction. Both tax authorities can see you're actively managing it.
Okay, now let's switch gears to the other main strategy, the year-end lump sum adjustment. This is the one where you keep prices stable all year and then sort it out later.
That's the appeal, exactly. For the whole year, Q1 through Q4, all your internal prices, materials, license fees, whatever, they stay constant. Operations run smoothly. Budgeting is predictable.
Fewer headaches for the finance and procurement teams day to day.
Definitely. No constant ERP updates, no mid-year price shocks.
So how does the settling up part work then? End of Q4 comes.
Right. End of Q4, you run the final numbers. You calculate the actual operating profit for the whole year compared to your target. Let's say the target was 5%, but the subsidiary only actually made 3%. There's a 2% gap.
Okay.
So a single payment that gakkakuchiseiken maybe is made to bridge that gap.
The source example had the parent paying the subsidiary $10 million to cover a shortfall like that. Sounds neat and tidy.
Operationally, yes, it looks clean. One transaction, done. But, and this is the huge but, the moment you opt for this simplicity, you walk right into potentially significant tax risk.
The catch. If it's so much simpler, why is it riskier? Is it just that single big payment looks suspicious?
It's mainly about the direction of that payment, specifically if it's a downward adjustment. This is like the absolute key point of friction.
Downward adjustment, meaning the subsidiary made too much profit.
Exactly. If the adjustment payment flows from the subsidiary to the parent or in any way increases the taxable income of the local subsidiary, that's an upward adjustment. Tax authorities are generally okay with that. Why? Because it means more tax revenue for them.
Right. Nobody argues when you offer to pay them more tax.
Precisely.
Yeah.
But if the subsidiary overearned during the year and needs a payment from the parent or some other adjustment that reduces its profit, that's a downward adjustment, you're lowering the tax base in that subsidiary's country.
They don't like that.
They really don't. It looks like you're shifting profits out after the fact. So these downward adjustments, often disallowed completely, or at the very least, they attract intense audit scrutiny. Some countries might just reject the whole idea as a year-end lump sum fix, period, especially if it lowers local tax.
Wow. Okay, so that completely changes the calculation. It's not just complicated versus simple. It's operationally painful but safer versus operationally simple but potentially facing a disallowed adjustment and maybe double taxation.
That's the core dilemma, which brings us neatly to the practical things you, the listener, absolutely have to nail down before you commit to either path. This is where the theory hits reality.
What's the essential checklist then?
Number one, non-negotiable. You must confirm how adjustments are treated in every single country involved. Don't assume your home country's rules apply everywhere else. That risk with downward adjustments is just too big to guess.
Get local advice, basically. Don't wing it.
Absolutely. Then let's talk timing again. We said quarterly is prospective, forward-looking. The year-end lump sum is fundamentally retrospective if you're fixing last year's numbers after the year's over. Why is that retrospectivity itself an issue for tax authorities?
Yeah, this is a big sticking point. Tax authorities generally frown upon or even disallow what they call retrospective corrections, changing the price effectively for transactions that already happened, even within the same fiscal year.
Why? Because it looks like you waited to see the result and then just tweaked the price to get the tax outcome you wanted.
That's exactly the concern from an audit perspective. It can look like manipulation. They much prefer adjustments that impact future periods, the next quarter, the next year.
Which strongly favors the quarterly method again, from a pure compliance angle. It does. Because you're always adjusting forwards. If you go for the year-end lump sum, you have to accept that the final calculation itself, determining that payment, is inherently backward-looking and will likely face more scrutiny for that reason alone.
So the risk isn't just the direction of the payment, but the timing of the whole adjustment concept itself.
Correct. And there are a couple of other practical points. Your paperwork has to be perfect. Your actual contracts, the agreements between the parent and subsidiary, need to explicitly state that prices can be reviewed and adjusted.
Ah, so if your contract says prices are fixed for 3 years, you can't just decide to do a year-end adjustment out of the blue.
Exactly. You'd be contradicting your own legal agreement. The adjustment needs a contractual basis. And finally, think about what you adjust if you have lots of different transactions flowing back and forth.
Do I need to fiddle with the price of every little thing?
Probably not. And it's usually not practical. The advice is generally to focus the adjustment on the big stuff. The main products being sold, the primary raw materials. Concentrate the adjustment on the high-value flows that have the biggest impact on that overall profit margin you're targeting. Keep it manageable.
Okay, this really clarifies that central trade-off, doesn't it? You're choosing. Do you accept the operational grind of quarterly adjustments for a potentially lower global tax risk, or do you go for the operational simplicity of the year-end fix, knowing you're taking on significant risk, especially if you might need to make one of those tricky downward adjustments?
That's the heart of it. And maybe the final thought here, looking a bit beyond just today's accounting rules.
Yeah.
The real challenge isn't just calculating the adjustment. It's anticipating how tax authorities globally are going to view these things in the future.
What do you mean?
Well, with initiatives like BEPS from the OECD pushing for ever more transparency and documentation, the pressure is really mounting against anything that looks like after-the-fact profit shifting. Retrospective fixes, downward adjustments, they're getting harder and harder to defend.
So the way you set things up now needs to consider that future landscape?
I think so, yes. Yep. You absolutely need that robust local tax confirmation now. You need contracts that allow flexibility. But you also need a strategy that anticipates a world where maybe continuous monitoring and prospective adjustments, however painful operationally, might become the de facto standard simply because the retrospective options become too risky or are disallowed altogether. That's the deeper strategic consideration beyond just this year's numbers.